In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God created us. We belong to Him. Our bodies belong to Him. The Spirit that fills our lives, the Spirit that inspires us to do the things that we choose to do in our lives, that is meant to be a divine and holy spirit shared with God's own Holy Spirit. That's what's meant to inspire the living of our life by way of the bodies that God has given us. We belong to Him. We can't be as we are meant to be if we set out on our own, like the prodigal, and spend the wealth of our life, waste that life, focus on things that the body, separated from any concern from God, desires and wants. Our lives grow desperate if we live that way. We turn into the body and we ask it to inspire us with some new lust, some new interest, some new desire, to give relief to the boredom that comes from living that kind of life. A life where we are separated from our true purpose, the true meaning of life. Of course, we are bored. Of course, we have despair. In between those times that we devote to the kind of fun that comes to us, after all, even if we live as we are meant to live, it's not that it's a life of misery that we are called to. That certainly is not true. Good times come, and we can have joy with those who we care about and those who care for us. And as St. Paul says, nothing is forbidden to us. But the things that the body desires when it's forgotten God and it's not being led by the soul and the Spirit of God, the things that the body desires, they will lead us into a condition of despair and hopelessness, of course. Because following the body, we lead ourselves into a condition of meaninglessness. For some reason, this is all very difficult for us to understand. So convinced are we that our bodies and our physical lives and the way we live life in the world belongs to us, belongs to ourselves. But that's not true. St. Paul says that we have been bought for a price. And we think, well, that means that I am a slave and I have to follow the things that God wants me to do. How miserable. We think like children. Children under the rule of parents, a rule that they reject because what they really want is to go and to live life like the prodigal did. It seems as though the first way we try to live our lives is as children, irresponsible, mainly concerned about fun, the physical things of the world, pleasure, not interested in anything else. And during the course of our lives, we adjust that goal to the degree that it proves to be absolutely necessary. But the goal remains the same. And if that goal never changes, to live our lives as children, not to actually live our lives as we are meant to live them, fully and completely, expressing and fulfilling all of our capacities, doing the things that are necessary to be fully engaged in the world, in our own life. If we avoid that way of life and try to live the other way and only gradually adjust our goal as it is forced on us, then we live the lives of slaves to the body. Because following the body is not how we are meant to live. Our bodies belong to God. They are holy. They are the means of living a meaningful life in the world. But in order to do that, we have to use them as they were created to be used. We have to follow the lead of the soul that loves God. And constantly, in every situation in the world that is difficult, has as its ultimate goal to return and to be as close to the source of life as possible. And then, we won't have that despair that comes from following the meaninglessness of the world without God. Then we can have joy, even in the midst of the worst difficulties. Some of the saints that we commemorate today have something to say about what we're thinking about here. The holy unmercenaries, Cyrus and John, and also Athanasia. Cyrus was a doctor, a physician. He was trained in medical work. He had all of the training that the ancient world had to offer. But when he healed, he made it clear that he healed by the power of Christ and the medicine that he used, body and soul together, the physical and the spiritual at one. That was the kind of physician that he was. And of course, when we say that he was an unmercenary, we mean that he did what he did without being paid for it. He lived as he could. People were grateful and they helped him to go on. He was a great saint, healing by the power of Christ and the skill of his medicine. And he was famous in the city of Alexandria in Egypt. When the persecution, the 10th and greatest, the last and most terrible of the 10 persecutions against the Christians came at the beginning of the 4th century, beginning of the 300s, under the emperor Diocletian, he faded into the Arabian desert and lived life as a monk. And the man John, who is mentioned today along with him, was in the army and had heard of him and wanted to go and to seek and to find Cyrus, which he did. They became companions, and wherever Cyrus went, as the persecution would relent in one town or another and move somewhere else, they would go and they would heal the sick by the skill of Cyrus and also by the power of Christ. Because the body is God's, after all. It's not a matter of fixing the body first and then when everything is okay as far as your physical life is concerned, then you concern yourself with spiritual things. There is that kind of teaching among certain psychologists today. There's a hierarchy of needs, it's taught. And the first thing that is necessary is take care of the body. Take care of the body first, and you will never end in your effort to take care of the body. Now, we in America, we've taken care of physical needs for the most part. The vast number of us are wealthy beyond imagination of ancient times. We would be counted as those who lived like kings and queens. And yet, there is despair. There is misery. There is depression. Well, of course, those things come with the satisfaction of the body to the exclusion of the soul. It's only when the ultimate concerns of the meaning of life as we are created to live it come first that those things are dealt with. And so naturally, we who focus on the needs of the body first of all, and the things we would like to have in order to have fun, in order to feel as though our life is entertaining, of course, the consequences are despair. That hierarchy of needs is nonsense. The final thing, according to that list of the order of needs, is some kind of spiritual fulfillment, because you already have everything else. Well, that's exactly the point at which the despair and misery set in. And then we say, oh, we have sick at heart, sick of soul. Well, naturally. Cyrus the unmercenary the way he healed and the way he dealt with those he helped, approached life completely differently. He said that most of the ills of the body come about because of sin, because we are living in a way that is opposite from the way the body was intended to live. Sin, remember, is not breaking rules. Sin is missing the mark. What do we hit the mark with? We hit the mark with our bodies. We hit the mark by the way we actually live our lives in the world. And if we live our lives in the world disoriented from our real purpose, going down further and further into the despair of living as though there is nothing for us but more physical things and more things to feed the needs of the body separated from God, naturally we are going to be ill. Now, if we say this to someone whose understanding is so firmly fixed on the idea that our life in the physical world and our needs and our desires and our independent life comes first, they might respond to us, "So you're saying that God punishes me for not living the way he wants?" That's not it. What's wrong there is the person who would ask that kind of question is assuming that their life is their own. My life is my own. I go after the things that I want and need and desire, and I try to be happy, I try to have fun. And God punishes me. He sends bad things to me. He makes me ill, not just in body, because if your idea is that my normal state is to be healthy without God, and if I get sick, it's because God has punished me. That's a completely inside-out way of understanding things. It's not the way it actually is. St. Cyrus is trying to explain to us that we get sick, and he doesn't mean just sick on the baseline of being healthy and being on my own independent of God. He means that we get sick in a way that is both spiritual and physical at the same time. That's why he heals both by the power of Christ and by the skill of his medicines. He treats, as we would say today, the whole person. But you can't treat the whole person unless the whole person is part of the body of Christ. That's when you are a whole person. We are members of the body of Christ. We said that he came and bought us at a price. Why? Because from the creation of the world and from our birth, we belong to him. And yet, we have sold ourselves into missing the mark, sold ourselves into sin, sold ourselves into a life of living death. And he comes in order to put an end to that and make it possible for us to live life. We can only live life at one with him. He is our Savior. We have to live life at one with God. Our bodies belong to God. The spirit that moves our life is meant to be inspired by God. If we love him, we can move through this world at one with Christ, and there isn't anything that can happen in this world that will break us. Saints Cyrus and John went and helped those who were taken by Diocletian's forces and tortured. Athanasia was one of them, along with her three children. They and their mother were taken by the forces of the emperor and thrown into prison. Cyrus and John came and ministered to their needs. But it wasn't just binding up the wounds that they received. It was also restoring the wholeness that they had at one with the body of Christ. That's what all of us need, to be whole at one with God. Soon we will begin the effort to set the lead of our bodies behind us so that our bodies become the means of ascending into the love of God. That's why we make the effort that we do in the Great Lent period. But if our understanding is that my life is my own, and I have the things that I have that belong to me as I belong to myself, then this great Lenten period will probably not do us any good. Because we have to understand from the beginning that we fast because our bodies belong to God. And we fast in order to return to that inspiration by the Spirit of His life, so that we can live His life in this world. We have no life to live, but the life of the Son of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.